All righty, and it is time now for our giant report with Paul Dottino. Welcome in, Paul. How you doing?
Good morning, Richard. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good, good. Well, the Giants get a victory last night. Not that that matters a whole lot, but there were, you know, a few little bugaboos, and, you know, we can attribute it to certain people not playing, whatever. But the thing that bothered me was the lack of a running game. And I know Barkley, that might change, but seems to me that Jonathan Stewart was tackled behind the line of scrimmage a lot, and I'm not so sure about the run blocking. What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't think the run blocking from the first team offensive line was very good at all last night. And not only that, you mentioned Stewart. He had a costly fumble where the Giants were in a sudden change operation and they come up with a turnover and in great field position, and Stewart gives the ball back after being double teamed on a tackle. So I would agree with you there. The only good part about the running game at all throughout the course of the evening was that Jarrell Presley, the guy they just picked up a few days ago and added to the roster, ran for 61 yards in the second half, which was nice. But, you know, it was all deep guys on the depth chart at that point playing in the game. So I'm not even sure how I quantify that. But you're absolutely right. So that would be the biggest negative that came out of the game, other than the health with the concussion of Evan Engram, which obviously no one ever knows how long a concussion can keep a guy out.
Yeah, and you know, as much as you try to take things out of these games, you have to do it certainly with a measure of reserve and skepticism. But you know, Eli has gotten some criticism lately because, well, you know, they could have picked a quarterback and they could have gotten, you know, anybody, but they picked a running back and said because they still have faith in Eli. But I think last night, you know, 17 out of 23, even though it's a preseason game, he did justify, you know, that Eli still has an awful lot left in that tank.
Well, he performed well earlier in training camp, continued that, as far as I'm concerned, through the preseason. He only played against Cleveland, didn't play against Detroit, as you know, last week.
Yeah.
But last night, I have to tell you, Richard, I thought last night was probably the best half of preseason football I've seen from Eli Manning in a long, long time. Not only was he throwing the ball extremely well and he was very sharp, he did it on the move. How many times, you talk about that offensive line, which didn't run block well. Okay, they didn't get Eli sacked, but he got pressured a lot last night. And they had a moving and a roving pocket on a number of occasions, not just for Eli, but for Davis Webb. I asked Davis after the game, I didn't talk to Eli, but I talked to Webb, and I asked him if that was by design. He said it was. So Shermer has a little a secret there in his bag of tricks. It looks like he does want to, on occasion, unveil a moving pocket. Now, when Eli's had to do that in the past, it wasn't necessarily by design a whole lot. They did a lot of that with both of those QBs last night, and Eli particularly was very effective in it. So for 37 years old, looks like somebody gave him an old pair of Fred Astaire's dancing shoes.
Yeah, and Shermer talked about that in his press conference afterwards, that there's no reason he can't run the boots and nakeds, and the fact that, you know, you got to make plays outside the pocket. I mean, obviously in Super Bowl we saw some of those plays, but
yeah,
they weren't by design, as you say, and now I think you're going to see it by design.
Well, Shermer wants to make sure that the Giants are able to use every single part of the playbook that you go into a game with. He doesn't want to be restricted, and that's obviously the best case scenario. And to just automatically say, okay, you know what, he's going to be a statue and a sitting duck back there for an offensive line that we think is going to be better. We think it's improving. We think it's developing. We think it's gelling. But there's no guarantees that they're going to be great, and there's certainly no guarantees that they're going to be as good as they can be coming out of the box. So I think Shermer understands that. So especially in the first part of the season, I suspect you will see more of these kinds of things that might help take a little bit of pressure off of the QB. And if you start, you know, using waggles and using rollouts and doing things of that nature, you know, you've got the ability to give Eli maybe a little extra before he gets rid of that ball, because you don't want to be stuck with this throwing it in 2 seconds every single time like it's been happening for the last few years. That's, you know, you just can't live like that all the time. It's part of the reason why the Giants have missed the playoffs so many times in recent years.
Well, and Paul, too, even though different players, different coach, the whole deal, this has been a thing that's plagued the Giants for a while in terms of field goals versus touchdowns. You know, we had Coughlin calling it the green zone instead of the red zone, and they would have trouble punching it in, and they'd settle for field goals, and in the end, it could bite you.
Well, you know, without Barkley and Beckham, I do go back to your point that you started the segment with. You're talking about two of the probably most dangerous weapons that the Giants could possibly put on the field. So I don't put a whole lot of stock in the red zone situation last night. In fact, I would tell you they got a huge positive out of it. Aldrick Rosas was 4-for-4 on field goals, which means he's now 6-for-6 during the preseason. And that was a huge question coming into this training camp. Is Aldrick Rosas going to lock down that kicker's job? So I'm going to say glass half full there, because it's given him the opportunity to shine and make sure that he seizes the job.
Yeah, and that's one of the things in preseason that's pretty obvious that you can take to the bank. You know, field goal kicking, regular season, yeah, there's some pressure, of course, but, you know, you got to kick him through the uprights, and he certainly did that. You know, referring to Odell and Saquon Barkley, do you see them getting any time in the final game against the Patriots, or are they just going to be, their first game is going to be the first game of the season?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if either one of them take a snap, and that's fine. I don't think at this point there's any reason to put either one of them on the field. And, you know, this way you unwrap the Christmas present against the Jaguars and see how it goes.
Yeah, so and obviously full game plans with all the schemes and different things, we'll wait till then as well.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing about last night, Richard. We do know the Giants did the most realistic regular season type of game planning that they will do during the month of August. And that's why when I said to you about the QBs on these waggles and rollouts and things of that nature, that's just a tiny, tiny sip of the kind of stuff that Shermer is going to be unveiling once the season starts in a couple of weeks. And I think that should get a lot of fans out there really excited.
Now, defense, you know, we've been talking offense, defense. You know, the first drive that the Jets had, they went 75 yards. They made a rookie quarterback look like Peyton Manning in that drive. What's your evaluation of that first team defense vis-a-vis the first couple of series?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that the secondary was a bit too soft in their coverage. As Shermer said, it didn't seem like the team came out with a lot of intensity, and they only picked it up after the Hunter shot 55-yard punt return for a touchdown, which was on the Jets' second possession of the game. So I'm with you there. It certainly was not a fun thing to watch if you're Coach Shermer. What I will say, though, is that for three preseason games, we have seen the first team defense absolutely dominate against the run. I thought Dalvin Tomlinson in particular was phenomenal last night. So was Snacks Harrison. And we've also seen through the three preseason games, Olivier Vernon looks as though he's going to be an absolute monster applying pressure onto the quarterback. Those are things you can take to the bank. This defensive line looks like it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, and Vernon, it seemed to me, watching as casually as I could, you know, he was at outside linebacker at sometimes in the 3-4, and sometimes he was down on the line. Yeah. So he was really kind of going back and forth a lot.
Well, it's all about creating a one-on-one mismatch for him. That's what this multiple 3-4 Betcher defense is going to do. He wants to cause so many problems in the pre-snap for offenses who are not going to know what's coming at them, and they're not going to know exactly where and what angle and who's doing what. on a given snap. And ideally, Vernon will be a guy who's going to be freed up either against air sometimes because the offense will be so discombobulated, they're not going to block him, period. I mean, look, that happened to LT sometimes. Remember, Richard, you were around for Lawrence. You remember, there were times where you'd say, my goodness, how did they not block him? Well, that was Belichick's way of freeing him up. They're going to try to free up Vernon when they can so he's got a clear path to the ball. And then there'll be other times where he's just simply going to be one-on-one.
Okay.
And he, you know, and if he can win the one-on-one, it's a good thing for the Giants.
Yeah, and, you know, Ray Armstrong starting to look like a keeper.
Funny thing about him, been in the league a half a dozen years. This is his fourth organization. Has never been anything more than a part-time starter. And in these last two games, boy, he looks like a heck of a football player. I don't know if it's just because he's a late bloomer. Remember, Jonathan Casillas was a similar kind of player when the Giants got him, and he gave them that one really terrific playoff season when he was actually voted a co-captain. This is 2 weeks in a row now he's been involved in a turnover, picked off a pass off a deflection against Detroit, and then last night on the special teams unit, he came up with not only a forced fumble, but had an absolutely bruising block on the sharp touchdown return. So those are good things for him for sure.
Yeah, and I like Wynn, too. Wynn has certainly put some pressure on opposing QBs.
Kerry Wynn is one of those guys coaches love because he just goes out and does his job. He listens. He's got a terrific work ethic. He's just a really good guy. Never makes waves, never causes problems. Unfortunately, as much noise as he seems to make in the preseason, and you're right, this is two sacks for him now through the first three preseason games, the stats on the production during the regular season don't equate to what he does in August. But you're absolutely right. It's always good to see a guy like that succeed, and he's always going to be one of those reliable reserves. You know, you can plug him in at defensive end or defensive tackle, and he's not going to do anything wrong. He's a smart player, you know, and coaches like guys who they can count on to at least do the right thing.
Okay, well, we'll talk to you next weekend, Paul. I mean, again, the next game, you're not going to see too many regulars. There will be a couple of things decided, I suppose, but getting ready for Jacksonville in September. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, the Pats come in on Thursday. Take care.
All right, that's Paul DeTino talking Giant football.